Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, as Adam Sandler would say, I did the old tap, tap, tap-a-roo on my microphone there while the announcer guy was introing the show, just to make sure I was connected there. It looks like I'm coming across the airwaves there. George Blackard, happy Freedom Friday to you. I wish you were with us here in Livingston, man. I'm surrounded by guns and coffee and gear and cool people and everything. So you're missing out this morning.
Well, that's great. I'm sure there's a bunch of great Montanans and great Americans there with you. So, yeah, I wish I were there, too.
Yeah, that there are. In fact, a few minutes ago, I was going to get a guy right on the microphone, but then that's why somehow I figured out, why am I not connected here? So, but actually, it was really cool. He was driving down the road. He's driving down the interstate. There's a big Veterans Service Organization meeting taking place in Bozeman here later this morning. So he's listening. He said, yeah, I'm going to go in and say hi to Aaron and chat with folks on the radio. So what I did was, as that Fox News update was playing just now, I recorded a conversation with him so he can get back on the road and get to his meeting, and then you and I can chat Freedom Friday, and then I'll play the audio a little bit later this morning. But, yeah, he works for the Vet Center there in Billings and covers everything basically east of the Continental Divide. So big chunk of terrain getting out there trying to do, you know, mental health support and all sorts of other things for our fellow veterans out there. So it was so great to meet him.
Yeah, he does a great job, and he does go all over the state. It's that's a tough job, but they get out there to rural communities and they do a really good job.
And you think about how big that land mass is. Well, what's on your mind this Freedom Friday? You can kick things off for us.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of things, Aaron. It's frustrating lately to look at the news and see the types of things that are going on. But one story that really caught my eye this morning is Vermont. Vermont urges everyone to replace son and daughter with gender-neutral terms in schools. So they want you to say kid instead of, or child, kid or child instead of daughter or son. And they say equity in the classroom is an essential piece of productive and healthy learning environment. So, you know, government has run amok already in our lives with so many different things. And now, you know, we have the government telling us what words we can and can't use or should and shouldn't use. And it's ridiculous. Are these people educated? They're supposed to be, right? I just don't understand how they can get away with this and how we continue to let them get away with this.
Good point. And that was out of Vermont. You said the state of Vermont where that's happening, right?
Correct.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because, man, I served with some incredible soldiers from Vermont. I was talking with Doug about, you know, we were telling some Iraq stories. I had these great guys from Vermont, and they were telling me how, yeah, you know, Vermont, man, the politics weren't crazy in Vermont until all the Flatlanders moved in from, you know, New York and Boston and totally screwed the place up. So I thought that was kind of funny because, you know, It's kind of the reverse in Montana, where the mountains get filled up with the folks trying to change the politics, and the flatland is still doing things right. All right, back right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Speaker Mike Johnson faces a decision: go along with the conservative House Freedom Caucus and punt working out spending bills due this fall until next year, or work things out this year. Conservatives want to push things into next year in hopes of having a Republican House, Senate, and former President Trump back in the White House. Otherwise, with President Biden still in office and Democrats running the Senate, it's likely spending bills reflect liberal priorities. But it's possible Johnson could face blowback if he works out a short-term bill with Democrats this year. Johnson caught flack from conservatives for doing a number of short-term spending bills to avoid multiple forays into a government shutdown. He also fielded criticism for allowing a bill to aid Ukraine to come to the floor. It's possible Johnson could face a challenge getting reelected as Speaker in January if conservatives are not happy. But if Democrats win the House, it's much easier to become minority leader. The Speaker needs an outright majority of the entire House. But the minority leader only requires a simple majority of their respective conference or caucus. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, high temperature readings will stay from the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear and quiet. Down in the low to mid-50s, and then the outlook for the weekend does call for more mild weather conditions. High temperatures on Saturday in the upper 80s to around 90 across the region. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's a huge story that is now getting national attention, but we broke it first at MontanaTalks.com. It's a report by a student athlete and a student journalist at the University of Montana in Missoula. A dark money group supporting John Tester was offering up paid political endorsements to student athletes. But some of these women rejecting the endorsement deal because Tester voted to allow men in women's sports. That story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Happy Freedom Friday out there to all of our listeners across the great state of Montana. We got George Blackard holding down the fort in the studio, or should I say holding down the ship, I guess, since you're a Navy guy. It's probably ship versus fort's a better analogy here.
I'm on watch. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, we're on fire guard here at Yellowstone Sporting Goods here in Livingston. What a cool location. So we had a really cool guy drop in just to say hi. I tried to get him on the microphone. He's like, oh, no, I'm good. Ken in Livingston dropped by, and he's off to work, too. But we had a good conversation during one of the recent breaks. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, Kamala Harris's interview on CNN and just everything in the news, right? And he says, do these people on the left, do they know that they're being lied to? Do they know that they're being lied to? You know, because Kamala's like, oh, no, I'm not against fracking. It's like, well, you're on camera saying that you want to ban fracking. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. But my response back was, I said, they're in on the lie. I think these folks on the left, they are in with the lie. They are happy that she's lying, just like they're happy that John Tester is lying. They know full well that these people are lying, but they're in on it because to them, the ends justify the means. And they have a political objective, and that's why they're okay with Kamala Harris lying about fracking and John Tester lying about men and women's sports or whatever the issue is, right? I don't know. What's your thoughts, George?
Well, you know, lying has become so prevalent in politics these days that we allow it to happen. We don't hold them accountable, and we just blow it off. And it's a shame that we've become complacent in that. I mean, we should be holding these politicians to account for every lie that they tell. And all you got to do is watch a political ad from John Tester. You'll see lie after lie after lie. And it's frustrating to me because we can't tell what to believe. And we know that whatever they say doesn't matter because they're going to tell you what you want to hear so they can get elected. And after that, you know, it's back to their politics as usual and kowtowing to special interest and the things that enrich them.
Well, and then the other follow-up that Ken and Livingston had was, oh, well, okay, well, if they're in on the lie, then, well, why? What's their end result? Don't they see what they're doing? Well, I think their end result is they want socialism. They want a socialist-style government in America. And so, again, the ends justify the means, and they want everything for free. They want free this, free that. But what they don't realize is that it's not free. It comes with a cost, one of which is your freedom. The other cost is, I mean, take healthcare, for example, look at the more government has intruded in healthcare. We got doctors that are getting ripped off by the federal government. They're not getting reimbursed for their services the way they should be. And what that means is that you and I end up paying for it through our private healthcare insurance to subsidize the federal government being cheapskates. But we have half the counties in America don't even have cardiologists. So you can sit here and say, well, we have a right to healthcare. Okay, well, you have a right to healthcare, yes, but but you don't have a right to force somebody else to become a doctor and to give you those services for free. So eventually there is a cost, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think those people that are wanting that socialistic type of government, they just don't, they haven't talked to anybody that comes from one of those countries. You know, in Central America, there are countries that the government tells you what you're going to be, and they tell you what you're going to make. And so you might be a carpenter because that's what they need you to be. And, you know, I might be a teacher. It's that is not the way that we want to go. And they just haven't talked to anybody that's really lived through that type of government.
Yeah, I forget where I was at, but I think it was at the Park County Lincoln Reagan dinner last night, and one of the ladies that was there, she was a school teacher for her career, but she had taught in the schools in Miami at one point in her career, and she made kind of a similar point of what you're making right there, is that a lot of the, you know, legal immigrant families that populate South Florida and the Miami area in particular, the reason why they're such freedom fighters, and great topic for Freedom Friday, is because they left those socialistic countries for a reason. They fled socialism for a reason, which is why so many of them are such freedom fighters today and don't want to see that happen in America. Why does everybody want to come here? Was a good point that Ken and Livingston made. Why does everybody want to come here? Right. Well, it's because we're the goose that's laying these golden eggs, and everybody wants to come here to get their golden eggs. But what people don't realize is that the more government grows, and we're seeing this with inflation, is that they're killing the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Absolutely. But, you know, here's the thing, Aaron. We have a president that doesn't follow the Constitution. He blatantly does things that go against the Constitution. He knows it. Just like this college loan forgiveness, the Supreme Court has told him over and over, you can't do this. And yet he just continues to do it. He continues to announce that I'm giving people all this money back. They're not going to have to pay off these loans. And what kind of government do we have when the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, doesn't follow the Constitution?
You mentioned Senator John Tester said the phony campaign commercials. You probably didn't get a chance to hear it, but I don't know if you did, George. I'd be interested in your take either way. The University of Montana, the female student athlete / student journalist who broke this big story about paid political endorsements from student athletes. It's in the New York Post. It's in Fox News, UK Daily Mail. We broke it at MontanaTalks.com. The Montana media ignoring this story. We'll talk about that more right after this quick break here on Montana Talks.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Both Kamala Harris and CNN's Dana Bash get a mixed grade for last night's first interview since the VP became the Democratic nominee. Harris handled herself reasonably well, though she deflected a lot of questions and said some things that weren't true. It makes you wonder why her advisors have kept her away from the press until now, building up the pressure. Now, the best thing that Dana Bash did was to repeatedly follow up on questions where she has changed her position from 4 years ago. For example, on fracking, and Harris tried to kind of weasel out of it, and there were four attempts at a follow-up. However, Bash wasted some time on sort of featurey, how does it feel kinds of questions, given the precious moments they had. But they both, I think, get a lot of credit, and now Harris needs to do more of these interviews and not have each one be so dramatic. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The Montana Stock Growers Foundation is working hard to collect donations for its wildfire relief fund to aid Montana livestock producers impacted by the devastating Remington fire in southeast Montana. Heidi Kuhl with the Stock Growers Foundation.
So we are accepting donations, financial donations, as well as hay or feed, fencing supplies. If you have any extra pasture, I know that's hard to come by this year, but if you have any extra pasture where producers might be able to put their cows or the cows that have survived for this fall and winter. We're coordinating that with the local coordinators as well. Just really trying to be boots on the ground. We've attended coordination meetings there in Forsyth to learn how we can better help those producers down in that area.
It hurts one's heart to see the loss of livestock as these flames burn so rapidly across Wyoming and Montana. And no matter where you're tuning in from here today, you can make a difference in helping your fellow farmers and ranchers rebuild after fire.
Montana Stock Growers Foundation is a 501c3, so if you donate financially, you will receive an email receipt for that donation. But like you said, Lane, it's not about the tax write-offs or anything like that. I mean, that's a benefit, but we do it because we're in agriculture, and we do it because this is what the industry does, and we rally around each other and pull each other through these hard times and help everybody rebuild and recover after difficult situations like this.
Visit mtbeeffoundation.org to make a difference today. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I got to tell George another story here before we get into, you know, the big news of the day type of stuff and everything. So George, yeah, I was BSing with Ken in Livingston here at Yellowstone Sporting Goods. So yesterday afternoon, before the Park County Lincoln Reagan dinner that I got to MC last night, we did one of our Americans for Prosperity Montana gift card giveaways, and we were downtown at Riverside Hardware, which is just a beautiful storefront, really cool hardware store in downtown Bozeman, and the owners are just the nicest people, Dan Durgan and his wife, and his son was running the cash register yesterday, and but what's cool about that hardware store, you know, you see that this is like, that's what I love is that Livingston still has this small town feel to it, right? This small town, if you want to use the word vibe, has been a popular word here recently. But Ken was telling me, he's like, oh yeah, that hardware store. He said, it's like the local hangout. Cause I was telling him when we showed up, I hadn't even set up my table yet yesterday to give away our gift cards. There was already 10 guys sitting at the counter, having coffee, smoking and joking and hanging out. But he said it's like that all the time. It's almost like it's a coffee shop, but it's the hardware store, and you can go and get coffee, get your Wilcoxon's fudge bars and everything.
You know, that sounds just like the small town I come from, Aaron. If you got up early enough in the day, you would catch everybody at the International Harvester dealership having coffee there. And then if you were a little later, say closer to 7 or 8, you could go over to the local little burger joint where they were having breakfast and coffee there. So, you know, they get up early and they sit in there and solve all the world's problems. So I love that about small towns.
Every town's got it too. Isn't it great? I mean, and yeah, man, it's different no matter which town you're in. You know, like for example, they're probably sitting down in Harlow right now. There's a group of guys having coffee and a rancher friend of mine who ranches has a ranch south of Harlow. You know, every day they're listening to the show. They're hearing the callers as they head in to go, you know, like you say, solve the world's problems at the coffee shop in Harlow. But you're right. It could be the International Harvester. Now I want to play that country song. It could be an International Harvester dealership. It could be the Farmer's Oil, you know, on the corner somewhere between Scobie and Plentywood. But there's always that one place where those old guys are sitting there fixing everything morning over a conversation.
It might even be at the dealership where they sell those green pieces of iron, too, you know. So
that's right.
Where I'm from, so, you know, you're either green or red, one of the two. So you can tell which one I am now because that green stuff, yeah, people drive that, too.
Oh, so you grew up as an International Harvester guy, huh? So
absolutely.
You won't even mention John Deere, huh?
Who?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, there is something, man. I wanted to segue into something because I think this is really important. So while all those guys are sitting in the coffee shop and the hardware store and those things this morning, you know, I saw a story that 87,000 Vietnam veterans may qualify for $844 million in benefits, and nobody's told them about it. And so this is a place where they can get the word out about this. The VA has opened up Vietnam veterans to benefits for exposure to more types of chemicals like herbicides and Agent Orange and that sort of thing. They should be the ones, the VA should be the ones letting everybody know about this, but they're really not. They're not doing a very good job of it. In fact, The Department of Veterans Affairs' very own Office of Inspector General agrees and said in an unsparing report this summer, the watchdog estimated that VA has failed to inform up to 87,000 Vietnam War veterans and their survivors that they qualify for retroactive compensation benefits because of exposure to toxic herbicides such as Agent Orange. So if you're a Vietnam veteran, you need to get down to the VA and see a service officer and talk to them about that, because this is something that would be very beneficial to them, and nobody's telling them about it.
Man, I have to tell you what, I'm so glad you brought up our Vietnam veterans. I got an email, I think, is it from Dave in Butte, U.S. Marine Corps veteran. I've gotten to meet a few times. I got an email here from Thomas in Butte. So they have the wall that heals. It's a replica of the Vietnam wall that you and I have seen and been to with our fellow veterans in Washington, D.C. It's a replica. It's been in Butte since, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm going to be in Butte tonight and tomorrow morning, and I want to go see this thing. But from what I hear, it's just a powerful reaction for our Vietnam veterans in Butte in the area that are going to see this. Because think about it. You and I have had the honor of getting to go see the wall in Washington, D.C. How many of these veterans have not had that opportunity? And so they're seeing something like that for the first time, and apparently just very emotional, very powerful.
It is.
You know,
we brought that here to Billings several years ago when I was commander of the United Veterans
Legion
Council.
Post.
United Veterans Council. Yeah, we had it
hold
here.
That thought. Hold that thought for just a second, George. I think we got to hit the Fox News update, and then let's talk more about that. All right. Yeah, George, I remember when you brought that the Vietnam wall replica. God, that was probably almost 12 or so years ago now. I think it was before you then helped get the Big Sky Honor flight up and running to get our World War II veterans back to Washington, D.C. for their memorial.
Well, you know, I think it was 12 years ago. Exactly. Well, you got a good memory. we brought that in, and we actually put it inside the Metra. Normally, you would put it out in a park in a grassy area, but we put it inside there because of the weather, and it was so quiet in there. I've never heard the Metro so quiet with that many people in there, but we saw so many amazing things. People that served in Vietnam were leaving mementos there, and which they collect and they take back to Washington, D.C. and put it with all the other things that they collect at the actual wall. So it was they call it the wall that heals for a reason, because there are a lot of people that show up there that, this is something they haven't maybe acknowledged or dealt with in a long, long time. And it stirs a lot of emotion and healing.
Yeah. Yeah, stuff that they didn't realize they needed to process, that this gets them to start processing for the first time. And it's at Father Sheehan Park in Butte. That's where I think every evening they play taps. They've got a full schedule there, so they do some different special events. But I'd encourage people to go check that out. Because I've served in the military, that's taken me, to the D.C. area, because I went to college there and worked on Capitol Hill. I've been to the D.C. area a few times, and so I've seen it. But I don't think we fully appreciate what a rare opportunity that really is to get back there and see the Vietnam Wall. So now to have that in Butte, and especially for our Vietnam veterans, I was telling somebody last night about this. I remember when Congressman Zinke, back when he was the statewide, when we only had one member of Congress, and they had these Vietnam veteran commendation pins that they authorized. Mm-hmm. And so he did these Vietnam veteran ceremonies all across Montana. And, part of me was thinking, okay, it's a pin. Okay, that's cool. It's a pin. This was so powerful. I remember being in the Butte Civic Center. I emceed that event. These guys were stacked. Men and women were five and six across all the way around the Civic Center, floor there. And so it was just crazy. It was just crazy the fact that, how many turned up. And you could see it in their face how powerful it was just to receive that pin, to receive that recognition, because they weren't well received when they got home.
Absolutely. And, I've said it before here, it's our Vietnam veterans that made our country and the way they react to our military today. They started that, because when the Gulf War started, they were the ones at the airports welcoming people home because they said never again will what happened to us happen to anyone else. So, I mean, they have contributed so much, and they've really built this whole appreciation of our military veterans that we have today.
That's right. We owe so much to them as post-9/11 veterans.
This is a huge story that is now getting national attention, but we broke it first at MontanaTalks.com. It's a report by a student athlete and a student journalist at the University of Montana in Missoula. A dark money group supporting John Tester was offering up paid political endorsements to student athletes, but some of these women rejecting the endorsement deal because Tester voted to allow men in women's sports. That story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Freedom Friday. George Blackard back in the studio. I'm broadcasting live here in Livingston at Yellowstone Sporting Goods. Drop in and see us. If you want to be on the microphone, we've got open mics. Or if you just want to drop in and say hi. We just had another great guy here in Livingston drop by and say hi. And he just wanted to say thanks for your service. And, George, I got to say, I always get so embarrassed when people thank me for my service because it's I'm on the radio and because people know that we do Freedom Friday, they know I'm a veteran, they know you're a veteran, and I know what they're really saying is thanks to all who served and so, but I get kind of embarrassed because it's like, man, I get these nice people that are always thanking me, and man, there's 100,000 plus veterans in this state, and so. Thanks to all who served. But, people are just, we've just got so many great Americans here in Montana.
Well, absolutely. And, I know that's tough to hear sometimes, Aaron, but you gotta grin and bear it, man, because
that's right.
It's nice that they do that. You know, the alternative is no recognition. And, besides for you, you've been all over the world in your service to this country, so I don't want to hear you getting embarrassed about being thanked because you've walked the walk and talked the talk, man.
Well, what I really love is when people thank the military spouses out there because those spouses, man, they go through so much, and oftentimes they don't get recognition, and so. So I always like to recognize them at a lot of events as well. But I just have to laugh at the fact that I ever even joined the military because especially if you knew me as a kid, you'd be like, really? They let that guy in? After 9/11, it's like, you know what? I may not be the best guy for this, but I need to do something. And that's why I joined. And so, but it's kind of funny because, I've met some rock stars, guys that are men and women that just run circles around me. Most of them do, but it's like, okay, now I know why you were in the military. I know why you joined because you guys you look like the guys from Black Hawk Down before you got in the military.
Those guys, there's something. In fact, Aaron, yesterday I was up at the airport here in Billings. And I saw these guys wearing these shirts, and I could tell they were with some kind of organization that helped veterans or worked with veterans. And the plane landed, and all these guys started coming down the stairs, some with prosthetics, some in wheelchairs, some, looked like they had all their arms and legs, that sort of thing. I know that's kind of a weird way to put that, but I stopped one of the guys and I said, what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we take these veterans down to Wyoming and we take them out on a ranch and they ride horses and they fish and they shoot and they do all. We just have them down for a week or two just to have fun and blow off steam. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's great to see organizations like that. And, I did see a news story, Aaron, that kind of goes along with all this. The Navy is finally going to hit their recruiting goal for the first time, and they're so embarrassed they wouldn't even say how long it's been.
Well, that's why you set low goals. Well, then you reach your goals.
Exactly. So that's what's crazy about the article. I read it, and it said, well, one thing we're doing is we're raising the age of enlistment to 41. we are lowering the requirements for the test to get in. So we're taking older and less smart people, and that's boosting our numbers up. But the thing that really got me
is... So you're saying I got a chance.
You got a chance. That's right. When you retire from the Army, you can join the Navy. There you go. So the thing that really got me is this Rear Admiral was so proud of this. He says, well, you know, it used to be we didn't know till the end of the month if we weren't going to hit our goal. So if we weren't doing well, we didn't know to the end of the month. But now we pay such attention to it, we know at the end of the day if we missed our goals for that day, and we step it up, and that's how we got there. I'm like, so you're paying attention is what you're doing now, right? So
wow.
I don't know.
And the amount of micromanaging, that's got to involve, like, what's your daily update? Okay, I'm trying to recruit people right now. Could you stop asking me for your Excel spreadsheet? You're actually hindering my effort to recruit people right now.
Well,
just imagine the goat rope that is.
Probably.
Hey, well, speaking of thanks for your service, I always love saying thanks for your service to our law enforcement professionals and our law enforcement veterans out there as well. George, I got a great guy you got to meet. He's with us on the microphone right now. Jason Gunderson is a police officer here in Livingston, but he's also stepping up to serve in the state legislature and running for a state representative. Jason, great to see you.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, well, thanks for being with us. And, well, I don't know. I don't think our friend George Blackard, he's back in studio. First off, hold it. Put that mic there.
How are we doing now?
Put that up a little higher. There we go.
All right, perfect.
I always forget to help people with the microphones when we throw these on. But first off, you know, what do you want to tell our listeners? You know, I think our friend George probably hasn't gotten to meet you yet. I've gotten to meet you a few times, but tell them why you're running for the legislature, a little bit about yourself, and then, George, you throw out the next question.
Sure. So I'm really focused on our public safety and taxes is really what it boils down to. And, you know, being service-minded and you know, I've been a firefighter, being an EMT, a police officer, kind of run the gamut there for service. And just concerned with the way our country and my community is headed and wanted to do my part to step up and do something about that. So, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
George, what would you ask Jason Gunderson here?
Well, you know, there are a lot of questions that I could ask him, but you know, it sounds like he's got the right idea, and he's hitting the notes that resonate with me about taxes, because, you know, we've been talking about that a lot. And, you know, it's my feeling that if the government has a, say, $2 billion surplus, then giving us a little bit of that back isn't actually doing anything. You know, cutting taxes and not taking that much money from us, I think, is the way to go. So, you know, that's kind of the way I feel about that anyway.
Yeah. And so one of the things you make a great point, you know, I'm focused on our marijuana tax. That is absolutely a disaster. It needs to get corrected. And my feeling on that is that we need that marijuana tax money to go back to our local governments. Right. So that money needs to get diverted to, you know, firefighters, EMTs, police officers. And I think that if we can give back that money to our local government, that can also help ease that tax burden on the rest of our community. I think we get a very, very small percentage of that. It just doesn't work the way it is right now.
Well, I think how much? Oh, yeah. Go ahead, George.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. There is, it's most people don't know where any of that tax money goes. They just see it. Yeah. They see the stores. They don't know what that goes to, because everybody makes it so hard to follow the bouncing ball on that one.
Yeah. I had the numbers at one point. I had it all memorized, but I think that we had generated like $93 million in marijuana tax. And I think 38% of that goes to conservation, FWP, and a very, very, very small percentage of that actually goes to law enforcement. So I have an idea. I can't really speak to policy just yet because I'm still just a candidate, but I would like to see that a large portion of that diverted to our roads and to public safety. You have two problems that come together to make a solution. It really could be a good thing.
Well, and regardless of what people think about the legalization of recreational marijuana, okay, $93 million or whatever the latest number is in revenue, but what has it meant in costs, costs for public safety? We know there's a need for more public safety as a result of that. Agree or disagree with that decision. And so why shouldn't some of that money get plowed back into public safety, like you point out?
We were sold bought and sold on the marijuana issue here. The corporation spent millions of dollars, forcing us into this situation. And this isn't grandpa's weed, from back in the day. You're talking about very, very high concentrations. There's scientific research that shows that it puts people into a state of psychosis. People are overdosing on marijuana. They take the edible stuff, and it takes time for that to hit your system, and so they eat more and more because they're not getting high, and then they end up going directly to the ER. So it truly is an issue, and like I said, I think that we can address this tax issue, and it's here to stay. So I think that these two problems can come together for a solution.
Yeah, George, about a minute to go. Another follow-up question or thought from you?
Well, I think he brings up a good point here. If a lot of that money's going to fish, wildlife, and parks, and just having that here seems to me law enforcement would be the right place for that to go because of all the other issues that it brings to our community.
Oh, excellent. Yes. So specifically in my community, we have one drug detective that is attached to a regional task force. It's not enough. That's literally, we need 3 to 4 people for that position. We have one. And so,
especially when we know the Mexican drug cartels are operating in the Gallatin Valley right over the mountain, they're probably right here in Livingston as well.
Yes, they are.
Hold that thought. All right. Quick break. George, we were talking about our great Vietnam veterans. Looks like we got a great one who just sat down to join us here in Livingston. We're broadcasting live from Yellowstone Sporting Goods in Livingston.
This episode is brought to you by Microsoft Azure. Turn your ideas into reality with an Azure free account. Get everything you need to develop apps across cloud and hybrid environments, scale workloads, create cloud-connected mobile experiences, and so much more. Discover what you can create with popular services free for 12 months. Learn more at azure.com. That's AZURE.com. And sign up for a free account to start building in the cloud today.
Fox News commentary.
Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg admits to censoring Americans at the request of the Biden-Harris White House. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
History, pop culture, science, sports, civics. How much do you know? Let's find out.
Who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Jackson or something?
Neil Armstrong.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz right now at thequiz.fox.
This really should be the biggest story of the week. Zuckerberg's half-hearted apology for censoring Americans at the behest of Biden and Harris. In his letter to Congressman Jim Jordan, Zuckerberg admits to censoring Americans, even for memes and jokes about COVID, COVID protocols, and vaccines, and also for helping to cover up and demote the very real Hunter Biden laptop story on Facebook. I have to wonder how many people got the shot due to the COVID fear propaganda push and censorship of dissenting voices like mine. And in terms of the Hunter Biden laptop censorship, that no doubt impacted and interfered in the 2020 election. Ironically, that was the reason it was supposedly buried, because it would influence the election. But it wasn't Russian disinformation at all, and the FBI knew it. Nice of Zuckerberg to acknowledge this, but the damage has been done. The American people deserve more than a regretful apology. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We need enemies, it seems, on the sports playing fields, in elections, and across country, racial, and ethnic boundaries. Our success is so often defined as victory, and the appeal to fight stirs emotions and inspires support, that we accept this as a purpose reflexively, but it also shrinks the economic pie. When countries wall themselves off from trade, they reduce the wealth of their citizens. Perhaps that's a price worth paying for liberty and security, but shouldn't be ignored either. Consider green energy in general, and electric vehicles in particular. The Americans' plans for EVs are crumbling, and beyond Tesla, that is. Their high prices turn off consumers. Yet even at higher prices, companies like Ford and Stellantis lose tens of thousands of dollars on every one they sell. There's a simple solution to boosting sales and making progress towards meeting our stated goals for EVs in the near future. Let China into our market. I'm Patrick Bargy.
Brought to you by the...
for today and tomorrow for everyone. Get the facts at propane.com/amazing.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah. Hey, if you're driving through Livingston, if you're in Livingston, come down and say hi. They've got some great coffee here. It's a veteran-owned coffee company that they brewed up here. Really good stuff. Hey, George, this is so cool. You know, we were talking about our incredible Vietnam veterans, and another gentleman by the name of Ken here in Livingston just dropped in to say hi. I tried to get him on the microphone, but great chatting with him here during the break. He's a big Sandy, Montana native and one of our great Vietnam veterans, and so great to get a chance to shake his hand.
Yeah, you know, it's too bad he wouldn't get on the radio with us. You know, it's always great to hear from those men and women that are Vietnam veterans, and I like hearing what they've got to say.
Yeah, we talked. I asked him if he'd ever gotten a chance because he heard us talking about, you know, the wall that heals in this Vietnam Veteran Memorial Wall replica that's in Butte right now as we speak. And he said he got a chance to go during one of the VFW national conventions to go see the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C. And one of his friends from Big Sandy was killed in Vietnam. So he got to go see his friend's name, David Hawkinson, I believe is his friend's name. And so, just so powerful that's here in Montana right now, and I can't wait to go get a chance to see it myself. George, I think Jason Gunderson's going to stick around here in the 8 o'clock hour with me. Anything else you want to cover before we run out of time? This hour just flew by.
Yeah, it did. You know, a couple things real quick. So the John Tester story where they were paying these college students to endorse him, between $400 and $2,400, depending on what they did. And, you know, the Tester campaign comes out and says, we don't know anything about that. We've never heard about that. We didn't endorse that. We didn't do it. Well, I find it very hard to believe that they didn't know it was going to happen, because that's the thing. They can hide behind these PACs and say, well, we didn't know what they were doing. That's not us. And yet they benefit from it. So I'm not believing they don't know about that stuff. But another thing that goes right along with these the drugs we were talking about. Did you see the story about the governor of Colorado who said the people in Aurora, city council people, the mayor of Aurora, they're talking about they have this terrible problem with these Central American gangs taking over an apartment complex. And they've got them on video with guns going into apartments. And the governor said that was their imagination, that's not really happening. And,
oh, brother.
Yeah, and it's just crazy. It's a Venezuelan gang. And the governor says it's their imagination. And so the city council member fires back saying, you know, I'm really disappointed in that because I've been helping these people get out of that apartment complex safely. And I'm going to continue to do that. And I have the proof. And the governor refuses to recognize that. So some of these politicians, as well as some people, they just, when it comes to this illegal aliens being in our country, yeah, I said it that way, they just turn a blind eye and pretend it's not happening.
Yeah, it's like, is the governor of Colorado from South Park, Colorado? Yeah. Nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving. Nothing to see here, folks. But there's Venezuelan illegal gang members with guns. Nothing to see here, folks. You know, John Jackson, the Joker, you know, he speaks Spanish. So he got a kick out of trendier agua. What is this? Trendy water? Oh, no, it's a dangerous criminal illegal alien gang that's in Colorado. And you can guarantee, I'll bet you they've got operatives here in Montana as well, because there's a lot of Venezuelans on the ground.
Absolutely. And, you know, we better start paying attention to this. And just remember, there's one party, the Democrat Party, that's okay with an open border that's allowing all this fentanyl, these drugs and everything to flow into our country so they can get more votes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you jumped in on that University of Montana student-athlete story as well, because I wanted to get your take on that. But, man, we had so many other great things to talk about, too. So, George, happy Freedom Friday. Thanks for holding down the ship in the studio. We'll be holding down the fort here. Jason Gunderson's going to join us for the 8 o'clock hour as well, live from Livingston.
Place a yard sign and you can win a Glock. This campaign yard sign in Billings, Montana, triggered the anti-gun crowd. MontanaTalks.com.